Elton John this morning on WDBC. It is a Tuesday morning, and that means Marvin Sukolowski is coming off the ice to say good morning to everybody.
The short straw draw for the day.
To come here?
No, maybe. To come off the ice.
Okay.
My God, the ice is amazing.
Well, I'm assuming this past week has been pretty good, but it's going to warm up here today. Should we check out that weather forecast?
We should check out that forecast.
All right. It was really sunny yesterday. Today, we're expecting partly sunny skies with a high near 38. It's going to be mostly cloudy and a low around 28 tonight. And then tomorrow, partly sunny with a high near 41 degrees.
Wow.
I know. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low around 25. And then Thursday, mostly sunny, a high again near 41. On Friday, we're expecting a high, though, of 28.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, but that's going to warm up again. Don't worry. 44 on Sunday, 43 on Monday. So I don't know what to think of all this right now, but Menominee's got 26, Marquette 20, Iron Mountain 21, and in Escanaba, we have 22 degrees.
Winter is here and spring has sprung.
I guess.
It's amazing.
A little bit of a roller coaster ride there.
I love it. The good news is the ice conditions are very, very favorable. Even so much that this is the first time in 2024 that the Sheriff's Department actually put out a, not an alert, but a post saying that the ice is safer than it's been.
I didn't see that. Who put that out?
The Sheriff's Department did. I saw it on Blade's post day before yesterday.
Because they posted the picture of the ice rescue.
Yeah.
Over by the Days River there.
And I don't know if I've shared, if you paid attention, that ice rescue, it's kind of funny because the gentleman that went in at 7:30 in the morning, which is pure dark, that drove into the mouth of the Days River, where on any winter you're not supposed to go. Second off, he was already on the ice when they got to him. And they did go back in the water for his cell phone.
And, was that right?
Yeah, and if you look at the video, it's funny because everyone says, oh my God, they went on a sheet of ice. I say, yeah, but one thing you didn't pay attention to, it's some of the things that I think you want to see versus what you don't see. If you look, he's standing in the water with both hands up, the sheriff guy.
Yeah, it was shallow out there.
Yeah, it was shallow water. So the whole moral of the story is don't go in it. You should never take your ATV or walk or anything into open water. I think we shared that last week. Saunders Point. Mm-hmm. Any mouth of the river, especially this time of year, the sun's intensity is getting so warm that shallow water, obviously the ice waffles underneath and deteriorates fast. But you should never ride or walk into open water on the ice because it does get thinner as you get to the open water. And the law of average says you'll definitely dunk your donuts. Absolutely.
Yeah, I did report that it was 7:30 in the morning. I guess I didn't realize it was dark.
It's dark then.
So you can... Yep.
Easily
obviously
to get
in trouble that way.
It is easy to get confused. If you just turn around once, you look and all the shores look the same.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I always like to do or tell people, if you're not familiar with where you're at, I mean, obviously you have electronics are insanely accurate. I have a Navionics app on my phone that tells me exactly what depth I'm in. It has a topographic layout of the bottom of the lake, and it's within... I mean, it always tells you how many feet you're in if you're on a drop-off. But one thing, always choose a landmark when you're out there for your own mental stability, I'll call it. Choose a landmark, meaning if you're looking towards and you see the Gladstone, if you're in the north end of the bay, you can see the Gladstone ski hill super easy all the time. It's this big old white blaze that's higher up. So you obviously know.
Well, they're not making snow anymore, but.
Well, yeah, but you can still see it. So you know that's the west shore. And right from there, you know
the
where
West Shore.
Well, I can't. Yeah, it's western side. I guess.
No, it's eastern side.
Eastern's across the lake.
Right. Never mind.
Yeah. The sun rises in the east and it sets in the west.
Never mind.
So, but always choose a landmark when you're out there.
Right.
And always, anytime you're out there, you can look towards the open water, which is the Narrows, which mm-hmm. is there. I don't care what winter it is. The Narrows always has open water on it. This year, it seems there's a lot more of it, obviously, but be, you know, and once you mentally familiarize yourself with where you're at, you're the comfort is there. You're a lot more comfortable knowing where your pressure cracks are, where the river mouths are, the Rapid River, Days River, Masonville Creek. You know, those areas are easy to know where not even to head to if you have a landmark in mind where you know where you're at. So,
technically, you can ice fish in the UP until the end of March
or June.
No, to the end of March. Sometimes you have to come off the ice before then.
I fished
but in most times you can
April.
Still go into the end of March. So what do you think this year with these temperatures coming up?
You know, like right now, the ice is absolutely, it is so re-glued to itself. It's crazy. It is super solid. There's probably in the north end, there's 10, 11 inches ice. Very, very stable ice. The pressure cracks. There was one that just started to heave up a little bit yesterday. But heaving tells you that the ice is building more again, and it has to ease up at its pressure point, which is going to be at a crack. So it'll push. A lot of times you just chip that ice down and flatten it out. Or there's several places to cross. You just have to pick one, and then everyone crosses there. It's pretty simple. But the sun's intensity and not having as much snow cover. We had a little breath of snow last week, which was great for fishing because you could bank your shack in. Same thing, you can tell where the people have been driving. It's cool for direction. But we will definitely have, I normally fish up until about the 10th to 15th of April on the ice. Mm-hmm. Typically you can get out there and fish safely. But this year is definitely different. We don't have that 20 inches of ice. So we will see, I would say, mid early March, we're going to have mid-March, because that sun's getting a lot warmer. It's going to change. Our season's definitely
getting higher,
shortened.
In the sky,
And nature tells us, and I tell people this too, if nature tells you not to go on the ice because nature has deteriorated and melted the shore, that's nature's way of saying you don't belong out here unless you're in the proper vessel to do that, which is a new thing. There's a new contraption that I think some of you have seen on Facebook last week called a Willcraft. It's basically it's like an ice fishing pontoon in a sense. It has big wheels on it, and it turns like a zero turn mower, and you sit right in it and you drill your holes right in it and fish out of it. It's amazing. It's called
a
Willcraft.
Right?
Yeah. Stop into Blades Bait and Tackle and check it out.
They've got one?
He just became a retailer for it.
Huh.
So if you have like an extra 35,000 on you, snap one.
Does it hold one or two people?
Four.
Four people.
He came over the other day with it. The other night, Blade was excited.
You don't want four people fishing out of the same hole.
Oh, absolutely. No, the same hole, but the same shack. Absolutely. And it's set up. It is a luxury. It's like a pontoon on the ice. It has hydraulics when you go out on the ice. And here's the thing. Someone had called in because someone was using it. Someone was using the Willcraft last Thursday or Wednesday off by the terrace. Because, as you know, the ice blew out by the terrace. But that day, his name was Ashton, was out there with Blades' Willcraft. And sure enough, people called the sheriff's department, said there's an ATV through the ice, blah, blah, blah. It was not true. A Willcraft is meant to go from water to ice to water to ice. It literally crawls across water. Like, he was going across 50 feet of water to get up on a sheet of ice, mm-hmm. to drill holes and fish. And it's funny. It's the kind of the mind your business thing. So already we had I'm not saying innocent bystanders, but gossipers that right away called the sheriff's department and called around and said, "Oh my God, there's an ATV through the ice. Won't these people learn?" It wasn't an ATV. It was an all-terrain vehicle, of course, but it's specifically designed for water to ice to water fishing. It literally has, it crawls.
So we're going to see a lot more of those out there, you think?
I think so. And you'll see it because when you see it going across the ice, it's something like you've never seen before. It's shaped different. It's just a big...
Kind of like those duck boats down at Wisconsin Dells?
Yeah, it's just crazy. But it's called a Willcraft. And it is a very unique vessel. Super safe.
Wow, look at that.
But if you look at the inside pictures, you drill the holes right inside. You pull these buckets out and there's holes that you... So the hydraulics lower it right to the ice flat. So it's like basically like fishing out of a ice shack.
Hmm.
If you look
with wheels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big wheels.
So the wheels are huge and they're full of air. You see how they're finned on there?
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I mean, the buoyancy is insane. If you look at the bottom left picture, Craig, see the holes inside of it?
Oh, yeah.
That's where you're sitting there in those holes. You'd pull those buckets out and drill holes and you fish out of those.
Just like a regular shack.
It's like a regular shack, but as you can see, it's on wheels. And it's
From the inside.
Yeah, it's like a zero turn and has a heater in there. It's pretty
Look at it go in the water there.
They're pretty crazy. We'll put it that way.
Have you ridden on it?
I have just in the yard, yes. But in not the yard? On the ice, yeah.
You don't own one yet?
No, I'm never going to own one.
Why?
Because it's a little out of my ballpark. I would rather walk out with snowshoes than on something like that. I mean, they're neat. They're very cool. But it's just not my bag. I like exercise and I like a little more element. If someone gave me one, of course, I'm not going to go down. But no, it's just, for me, it doesn't fit. I had an airboat, which was kind of the same thing. I look at the things like you got to trailer it to move in, unless you live on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's a very unique, safe alternative, and it's something like you've never seen out there.
That's for sure.
It's like an Ice Shack limousine.
So the shack portion.
Mm-hmm.
Is camouflaged.
Well, they're camouflaged. They're black too. There's different colors, but they're like a flip up ice shack. It's incredible.
I was wondering if it's for duck hunting too.
Up here,
you can never know, right?
You can mow your lawn out of it, probably.
Yeah.
But no, so they're called Wheelcrafts. Honestly, if you want to see something unique and different, and they're very popular, of course, in the Minnesota area and things like that. And we are our little Badenoch area. As well is a, it's a fishery among fisheries. There really is a lot to offer here, and it is resortish town as anywhere else is for ice fishing and outdoor activity and enthusiasts. So these will take. I think they could very well take hold and take a grip on our bay, and provide, I guess, a safer view for bystanders that don't even fish that think that. That everything on the ice is caving through and it's going to require search and rescue.
How do you propel it?
So there's a gas engine. See where the two double tires are? Engine, there's an engine right there. And you pulse start it from the inside. So if say that it's kind of dicey to be standing outside on the thinner ice, you could actually pull it and pulse start it right from the inside. So you don't even have to get out of it. It's very intriguing, but get over to
Blaze. It's amazing how it can get up on the ice without breaking it constantly.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Because there's a picture of the front wheels up on the ice and the back wheels churning.
Yeah, but they're called a Wheelcraft, and they're very is the I think that well the retail or the manufacturer I think is out of Minnesota because I know Blade.
That's probably why it started there. Yeah,
Blade went there and he became a dealer here this last week, so he picked a couple of them up and brought them back. And super, and as you know, he guides. I looked yesterday. There's two overnight shacks. He's got the big overnight sleeper shacks.
Right.
They're amazing.
Yeah,
and they drop that on the ice. It's incredible. But there was two. They're groups of groups of 10 people or 12 people. I don't know. I think each one can sleep four. No, so there was like probably 8 people out last night in his overnights. And he brings brings his own. Bathroom out there that has like a vacuum sealed process after you go to the bathroom. So it's everything that goes out there goes back with you. It's incredible. They provide an amazing overnight stay for people. Then they book up. They do very well on them. It's amazing.
But the big question is, how is the fishing?
Fishing's good. I saw a 12 and a half pound walleye caught last weekend. I did well on perch. It's good. And it was free fishing weekend, I think last weekend too. So it was a very busy bay. It was a very busy north end. And it is, despite what non-fishing people think, the bay is as safe as you let it be. Okay. And if you don't want to go out there, just let it be. But the ice is safe. It was better than it's been all winter, basically, this last weekend.
Well, it was cool.
Oh, yeah.
You could.
Overnight. It's funny. I came in Saturday. I went out Saturday morning, and it was just locked super tight. I mean, the crack looked like there was mortar in it. Everything was super tight out there. And then I came in, but there was a strong east wind for probably 4 or 5 hours, and it blew the wind right out through the pressure crack. Like I said before, there's millions of cracks in the ice. So there was actually 8 to 10 inches of water all the way up to shore, but there's basically no depth there. It's on shore, and it receded the next morning. It did just like a crackle ice. It's crazy how it moves, but how the water comes in and out.
Oh, it moves, especially with the winds, and the south wind is usually the one that affects us the most.
Yep.
And tonight we do have a south wind, but it's not very strong, about 5 to 10 miles an hour.
It's locking up. The ice has been making so much noise all night long. It's just, it's building. As we talked at the bait shop the other day, this is like first ice all over again.
Because
first ice built really slow. It was like 4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of stalled, and then it's been incrementally slowly. And then we lost about 2 inches, 2.5, with that warm spell in the rain. But then now it's back to where it's over a 10-inch range, and it is a very, very firm ice, which is great. It's almost like a brand, because ice repairs itself as it gets cold, you know.
Escanaba has always been known as the banana belt of the Upper Peninsula because mm-hmm. we do not get the snow like the rest of the UP. Yep. We also don't get the rain like the rest of the UP.
Yeah, true.
I don't know why that is. But this year, our snowfall, only 13 inches.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
For the entire year from October 1st.
Yeah.
Normally, our seasonal snowfall is 46 inches.
Wow.
So that's how far down we are this year.
Be ready for March. Yeah.
Most snow come in March, you know.
Yeah, well, someone was just saying this, you think winter's over and all you can do is laugh. I mean, from deep down, because, you know, Mother Nature is something you never, never underestimate, as you see in the nation or in the world, flooding and winds and mm-hmm. tornadoes and stuff. Never underestimate Mother Nature. As I said last week, I saw a double rainbow and heard thunder 2 weeks ago in February.
In the middle of winter, yeah.
In the middle of winter. So never underestimate. We do need some sort of participation from Mother Nature. Yeah, we need precipitation. We need some rain. We need some snow just for nature. I mean, not just the lakes, but for the woods as well.
Yeah, the runoff this year, of course, the rest of the UP is not getting snow either, mm-hmm. so that's going to affect our spring runoff, unless we do get dumped on in March.
And we will, but the nice thing is we're getting closer to the end rather than the beginning of spring, you know, or of winter. We're here now, and it's we're going into March already. We really have had this winter of the ages or the records. Mm-hmm. I mean, we thought last winter was beautiful, and it was. This winter was, if it trends this way, I have concerns that I may have to get a wheel craft or a kayak, or I have a kayak. But yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, but Michigan is, the UP in particular, is absolutely beautiful. These mornings yesterday, the frost on the tree tips and everything. It's we really, there's a lot to marvel at and look out and admire and respect out there. We have a beautiful place in this world, and to experience, a lot of people never get to experience for just tasteful seasons like we do. We have the wet springs and the growing springs and the greening springs. We have beautiful summers, colorful, and falls, you know, full of smell and in everything. And then we have these winters that are definitely winter. So, but it's nice. It's kind of nice that it wasn't an extreme winter, but we have a great place and we have great seasons up here for sure.
Well, it will be again sometime.
Oh, yes.
It goes from winter to winter.
We'll be okay.
So find yourself somebody to love.
Dean Martin. It's our two for Tuesday. Did you forget?
Dean Martin's our two for Tuesday.
It has to be, because I played Dean Martin and I'm sitting there going, ooh, it's two for Tuesday, and I forgot.
Did Dean Martin have two songs?
He had a lot of songs.
Oh.
So you were just singing a different one.
Purple Martin. Everybody
love somebody sometime. Wow. So that's what I was thinking.
Where'd that even come from?
Because this one was, you're nobody.
Well, I appreciate that, Craig. Thank you. You're somebody too.
Loves you. And then everybody loves somebody sometime.
Yes.
What is the other big hit he has? That's Amore, right?
That's his?
Yeah.
That's Amore.
Well, that's one of them that he does.
Wow.
A lot of people do it too. But I was looking around, and there's another one with Jerry Lewis that I always like to play once in a while. Sure. I haven't played it in a long time, called It's a Certain Party. And I almost played that one for our two for Tuesday.
Nice. So what does Amore mean? That's Amore.
I don't know. It's French, I think.
Oh.
Should we Google it?
Toast is French too, but we don't. That's Amore.
What does Amore stand for?
It's a UP slang. It says, give me some more, eh?
It's a noun. Whoops.
Good cover.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that. Bummer.
That's Amore. Eh?
Eh?
That's how I say it in the
UP. That's how you do it in the UP, yeah. This song I thought would be nice to play. Here's Dean Martin. Ain't that a kick in the head?
Wow.
Two for Tuesday on WDBC. That's good.
Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head?
Ain't that a kick in the head?
That's a good song.
Dean Martin, our Two for Tuesday on WDBC. It was fun, right?
That was a fun song.
Yeah. Well, I did look up That's Amore, and it's not French, it's Italian.
Same thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. It was written in 1953 by Harry Warren and Jack Brooks, and it became the first major and signature song for Dean Martin. And what does it mean in Italian?
That's more.
Love.
Oh.
That's love.
You know who? I think the first time I ever actually heard that song, Dwayne The Rock Johnson sang it on a television show. That's Amore. Surprisingly, he had a very he has a very good voice.
Mm.
True story.
Well,
that's the love, Rock. Yeah, that's Amore. So it's Italian for love.
It's Italian for love.
We'll have to wait till next Valentine's Day to talk about That's Amore.
Yeah, well, he did a lot of love songs. Can you imagine doing It's a Kick in the Head for Valentine's Day?
That is Amore.
It was a love song.
That is a love song, I guess, in its own way.
If you can't get enough of Marvin Sukolowski, I want you to know that you can now listen to the show, minus the music and other things, on my podcast, what I've been putting together again.
You have a podcast?
HometownEscanaba.com, or you can go to Podbean and get it there, or you can get it from your Apple podcast app on your phone.
Apples and oranges.
You got an Apple phone?
I do not have an Apple phone.
Okay, you probably get it on the Androids too.
I'm a Droid guy.
Yeah.
Apples confuses me.
What?
I've always been Droid. Apples confuse me. I don't know.
I've always been an Apple, even with my computers.
Well, I have an Apple phone as well for other work. It's just weird, but so I'm both.
So anyway, I'm trying to cut down the shows so you can just hear us talk.
Nice.
And you can get a hold of that. So last week's show is actually up there.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So if you want to cut us down on the show.
I cut it down to just that. So it's, again, Hometown Escanaba, plus all the interviews that we do at 8:30 for Newsmakers are posted there as well.
Craig and I interview ourselves on Tuesdays. We're very popular with ourselves on Tuesdays.
We do. Well, it's going to take time now for sports, so we're going to do that. Nothing much happening. NBA's off. We do have some high school game tonight, so we'll check that out coming up next.
On this post-President's Day Tuesday.
I guess it is no longer a holiday.
I know.
Yes, I'm a traveling man.
We are traveling now on WDBC. That's Ricky Nelson.
I'm a traveling man.
Yes, you are. Just don't take an e-bike, right?
Don't take an e-bike.
We've been talking off the air about e-bike, so I don't know how much we want to express so we don't get into trouble, but
neither
one of us like the concept of e-bikes, and of course they've been taken over. And how much of that is not liking change? Because you talked about you would like a Wheelcraft, but you don't want a Wheelcraft because you like the ability to connect with nature and get out there and walk and take you. But I don't know the difference between taking an four-wheeler or taking a Wheelcraft. It's other than the fact that you can't fish through the four-wheeler, you have to get off of it.
Less expensive for sure. Easier to repair yourself. Well, same thing.
A regular bike is a lot cheaper than
I had the opportunity last summer to get on an electric kayak.
That's right. We talked about that.
And it, to me, was, of course, I'm the guy that took the electric kayak into like a canal and got it hung up in the weeds. Got it hung up in the weeds, and I got the prop all gummed up with weeds and that, and it stalled. And so then it did what it's supposed to do. Then I unhooked the paddle the way I wanted to do it and paddle. I guess it's a comfort thing, and it's not. I mean, certain things are traditional. We talk about bicycles. I grew up repairing my own bike, as we was talking about off the air. Craig and I were talking. I'd go fishing at the local creek, which was about a 6 mile ride, which was nothing. And you'd get your pant leg caught sometimes in your, because you had to wear long pants if you're going to be busting brook trout. You don't want to have shorts on because you're walking in the rough. Tag allers, but you always get your pant cuff caught in your chain. And then the minute your chain derailed, you also had to be instrumental enough to know how to put your chain back on and not have to rely so on others. And you relied on yourself for motivation and for transportation. If you wanted to go somewhere, you put an effort forth, meaning you pedaled. And if you were climbing a hill, you pedaled a little harder.
Or walked it.
Yeah, and the joy was, right, you got to coast on the downside of the hill.
Yeah.
So, and no matter
now where you get to coast all the time.
And no matter where you go, with a pedal bike, you have to just remember that if you go 9 miles one direction and it's a nice, cool, it's great, and you're just, the when you turn around, the wind's in your face, it's 9 miles back, you know.
Well, so, we used to row boats.
Sure.
And at some point, somebody put a motor on that rowboat.
You know, but I love there's lakes that you can't take motors in. I still love that. There's a lot of little lakes that you're not allowed to have a gas motor on or an electric motor, which is cool. But yeah, we're talking about e-bikes, and no disrespect to local retailers. I think that's awesome because we have a lot of friends at Mr. Bike and at Brampton Bike, and it's amazing retailers. But for me, e-bikes just seem like cheating. Or cheating yourself, I guess. But I'm in the fitness industry, so I believe in investing in yourself to get more out of yourself, to sit on a bike.
I don't see the difference between an e-bike and a motorcycle, other than the fact that it's quieter than a Harley.
And one's gas and one's electric, yeah.
Well, they're going to make electric motorcycles eventually, if they're going to keep this trend going. If you have a Ford 150 electric, you're going to have a motorcycle that's going to be electric.
What's the
difference between an e-bike and a motorcycle other than the way it looks?
Mm-hmm.
You said, too, you were talking about mopeds.
Yeah.
What's the difference between an e-bike and a moped?
Not much other than one was
the
gas.
Looks.
Yeah, the looks. Yeah, and it was funny because there was a joke back in the 80s that you wouldn't be caught in a moped. And some of you remember the joke. I'm not going to get into it, but it's funny. But now it's like trendy cool that... I just tell Craig, someone come up to me and said, man, I did like 20 some miles on my e-bike last night. I'm like, great. we did the whole lap around with some lake chain. And I'm like, that's great. But you didn't, you like pushed a button. It's not like you.
You have the mindset that if you biked it, you exercised.
Yeah.
But if it's an e-bike, are you exercising?
Yeah. And I'd like.
Now you can pedal. They got the hybrid ones.
Yep.
Kind of like a hybrid car where it's gas and electric.
Yeah,
you have a hybrid bike where you have to pedal and you get the propulsion from the battery.
It's nice that you're out. I guess that's nice that you're out anyways, outside. But to spend thousands of dollars just that you can get that same outside sensation on your backyard. But at least you're, I mean, there's a lot of cool things to see and smell and to partake in. But man, to me, an e-bike is just, it's an electric bike or like a kayak. It's an electric kayak. You're not investing in yourself in some way to get a
dividend. But it allows you to also participate in that sport if you're unable to do so.
That's true. So we're talking about forming an e-bike gang. we're gonna
a nasty thing, huh?
Yeah. But no. So I mean, it's one of those to each his own. I mean, e-bikes are, I guess for me, it's they're a lot more expensive than I care to.
Sure.
To spend on something that doesn't benefit me physically. That's like lifting weights that are styrofoam
ejected. No, it's supposed to get you traveling from one space to another.
Yeah, we should start a styrofoam gym that's just got like styrofoam plates in it so that everyone can like just throw weights around, literally throw them around.
Styrofoam like crumbles though. You ever have a styrofoam cup?
We'll see what happens to an e-bike. Well, no, just foam inject them.
Foam, okay.
Because if you look at some, there are some different, I forget, some plates that are, they're really super thick and they look like you're doing this massive weight and they're just not.
Oh,
as heavy.
I get it. You're lifting weights that are styrofoam.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That went right over my head.
It would be great for like your Facebook posts and stuff. People
make
put
it
like,
look like you're lifting lots.
Incredible gains. But I mean, to each his own, and that's just my opinion of e-bikes and foam injected things. No. If you want results, you have to invest or put forth and that's where your dividend is. You don't win a marathon or Ironman or decathlon without investing time into this. Or look at our Mish event here that we do this great Mish event, in August, the triathlon and stuff like this. even locally, you don't just jump in a kayak and do 4 miles across in the bay and then jump on a bike for 13 miles and then finish a 3 mile run. You don't just decide that morning that I'm going to do this, because you will find out it is a lot rougher than you think. So, if you get in an electric kayak and then get on your electric bike and then get on your scooter and finish off, it's not the same kind of we don't live in an electric, triathlon world. You gotta try putting some effort forth to get a benefit out of it, for sure.
How often do you walk out onto the lake compared to taking your four wheeler out on the lake?
Quite often. Like last weekend, it was all walking. And I take my fat tire bike out there as well.
Okay.
Just because we don't have the snow cover right now. It's mm-hmm. great. We have a little bit of snow and there's little tiny drifts. But no,
how do you carry your gear with a fat tire bike?
I have a climbing harness that I use for my tree stand. I'll wrap the climbing harness around my waist or around my higher on my shoulder. And then I have a long rope that goes to a jet sled and I put my equipment in that. So the other alternative is you can tie it to a rack on the back, but I don't have a rack on there. So I actually tie it around myself. And since I'm taller and the rope goes above my back tire, I'm totally fine, 'cause I'm 6'6". So it's easy to do, but absolutely. And you'll see the coolest thing I saw out there Sunday. And I called my buddy who was fishing nearby me. I said, check out the kite surfers out there. There were two guys out kite surfing, and mm-hmm. I don't know if it was like Rick Elrod and Jared Drown. I know those guys, local business owners, but they invest in themselves physically to maintain that ability to drive forward in life with their aspirations and professions. But they, I've seen them out kite surfing, but there was two people out on the Stonington side that were wind skating out there on the ice on Sunday. Because it was windy, and some people go like, man, the ice is good. Let's get out and do some windsurfing.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. And that is a lot of upper body, a lot of back and legs. Even skiing is fatiguing. It really is. Even people think downhill skiing, oh, you're just going downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not electric. No.
Yeah. Electric skis.
But oh, boy. Who better Google that one?
The electric skateboards. I saw one guy go down 14th Street at 100 miles an hour. Yeah. I'm thinking, man, that guy's dead.
He's toast. Get the butter, he's toast. Yeah.
So you got electric skateboards.
I mean, yeah, ever since I guess they made a tow rope to help yourself back up to the top of the hill. But
boy, you are tough.
You use a lot of muscles from everywhere, from your heels up to your neck when you're kite surfing or even snowboarding or downhill skiing. I mean, there is a lot more than you think used to control your body and to the exercise you get for that.
I mean, what did you do with your e-kayak?
Oh, it was amazing. Well, I tried out. It was a demo, so I was kind of blown away.
So you handed back the kayak?
Well, no, they had
you got it stuck in the...
Well, no, so no, I was cool about
in
it.
In the mud?
I got out and I just, because you, it's weird because it's like a prop that goes down in the center. And so this one, you had paddles. So you have pedals like a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
You have a paddle on the side it's like a bungee cord to the side in case you need to paddle, or in my case, in case you choose to paddle. And then as well, it's electronic. So you have these lighter lithium, big, like 12 volt lithium batteries, the size of a car battery, but they're super light. Lithium is really light and expensive. I hated to add the and expensive, but, so the e-kayak demo, it was Old Town came down and,
mm-hmm,
and
they, I remember, yeah.
it was very, I'll admit it was cool. I've never been in an e-kayak, but getting on it and you just literally turn a knob, right?
And away
for
it
your
goes.
Speed, and the guy was telling me you can go like back and forth to Stonington like two or three times with it, and you can move at a clip that's pretty bizarre. But once again, it's great if you're photographing and it's quiet, or you just want to have this experience of being outside. But to me, it's an expensive experience. You have to buy it, you know, and then you got to carry your prop down, put that in your battery. You got to load everything in there, and then if you're a fisherman, you got to carry your fishing gear.
Just get a pontoon boat, right?
Absolutely. You know what? It's about the same price if you're an efficient shopper. But no, to me, the e-kayaks and e-bikes, we got on that again, but yeah, so the e-kayak was weird. It was neat. I'll admit it was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, this morning I cut cross traffic for the first time. I went to the Gladstone BP. That was kind of cool to me this morning because I'd never done that. I've never cut across by like the bank by the BP that where that goes to the. I've never cut across traffic there, particularly cut across to the east.
Meaning turning left.
Yeah, I did that this morning. I was like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. So there's a lot of cool things you can try in life, even if it's just cutting across traffic in a new spot.
But you did that in an automobile, right?
But I mean, it's just something new. Anytime, always try something new, something different. In I would say experience e-kayak, and it may be something for you. The cool thing I found out is that you have paddles on an e-kayak, and if you want a kayak, like traditional, then you just get out your paddles and kayak, which was cool. I like doing that.
Or pretend.
Yeah. And I like, the reason I like, and I have friends, I really watch a lot of videos with the kayaks with the tandem or whatever you call it, where you pedal, right? Because you have your little prop and stuff as it goes like kind of in between your legs and you pedal it and then your prop moves and you go. But the only reason I ever thought about getting one like that is because I thought it would be more hands-free for me because I'm a fisher person. So everything I do outdoors or on the water pretty much revolves around fishing. So I'm thinking the paddle would be cool for trolling or for casting. But then I find out that when you pedal a kayak, you still have to use this knob on your left side to control your rudder in the back to move your kayak left to right. And I'm thinking, so I'm only still having one free hand anyway. So I might as well just keep my, you know.
And use the drift of the water.
My paddle kayak. Yeah. There you go.
All right, Marv, we need to take a break for the top of the hour
here. Is this an e-break or a real break?
It's our e-break. Actually, we've gone so fast, we've gone overtime here a little bit. Three, Dog Night. Black and white. The good message right there.
That's a good message.
Yeah, it is. So, Scouts last night, we were working on citizenship in the nation. We have several citizenship merit badges that the kids work on. So they were learning about the preamble to the Constitution itself, the different branches of government, and we were talking about all that. And then they also needed to watch a speech. And so we watched the I Have a Dream speech on the Mall by Martin Luther King Jr. And we didn't watch the whole thing. It's about 17 minutes. We had a 7-minute snippet from the speech, but it was very quiet as the kids were listening. I don't think they listen to that speech at all in school anymore, and they really should. Because it's a message that I still think is lost these days. And you and I were talking again off mic a little bit about society and how we get along or don't get along. And the message certainly from him in that speech was that you should be judged by who you are and not what you are.
Absolutely. It's very powerful versus closed-minded get you powerless, you know, for sure. Yeah, very influential. And same thing as we talked about, too. How media can distort the original message to make it seem like it's a lot less value than it actually was or is.
You grew up in Gwin, and we all know, of course, that was the air base at the time.
Yes.
And, you know, my sister and her family, the kids there grew up in Oman, and they went to a school with all the embassy kids.
Wow.
So having that melding of different cultures together, like you had in Gwin, where you had all the different cultures from around not only the country but around the world, from kids coming in.
Yeah, and that's that's one of the cool things. I couldn't wait for.
Even though you were born and raised in Gwin.
Yeah, I was born in Watson, Michigan, population 5, I think it is pretty much. But yeah, so going from that, and like I was sharing with Craig, I had a very very prejudiced upbringing. My dad was born and raised in Detroit, and that was and he was 100% Polish, so he grew up in the Hamtramck area, extremely prejudiced person. So then I go to I'm 14 and I go to Gwin High School. And it was amazing because of all, talk about melting pot, I was sharing that Crayola, remember the Crayola crayons? I think most of the listeners of this station know what a Crayola crayon is. And we had this Crayola caddy that was 64 different colors in there. And I was telling off the air, if you melt all colors together evenly, right? 64, 5, 10, however many colors, if you put them all together evenly and you melt them down, you get a hue, which is just a dark color. And like I tell people when I do presentations, we're all human, H-U-E-M-A-N, meaning we're all blends of a different world and society and color. And the cool thing was when I went to Gwin High School, the Air Force Base was amazing. I mean, right away I was meeting and blending with kids from Germany and Guam, right? And all over the world, I met Asians, blacks, Native Americans. It was crazy. And it was probably one of the most enriching times in life that you
because
get
you
to
just
be
took
a
it for granted. Yeah. That's the way it was supposed to be.
And as I share, if you're going to be prejudiced towards something or someone you know, not something or someone you don't know. And that's the cool thing. I didn't get, you always hear, what is the term, pride and prejudice? I'm more proud than prejudice, mm-hmm. because I think we're proud to be. I mean, we didn't choose who we were born to, right? We're just born. And it wasn't our choice, but it's what we do with those choices in how we meet people and blend people in society. I meet people all the time and they're like, oh, you know everyone. I said, no, I don't know everyone. But if you have an aura or you choose to be open and evident, it's more beneficial in your life for sure. Because closed doors don't let any light in. So, but yeah, I was very fortunate for being raised out in literally in Watson, Michigan, where my dad moved from. I was born in West Branch downstate. And he wanted to move us away from the city, and he did. Oh, believe me.
To Watson.
You know, it's like a country song, crickets and the frogs and snakes on the road and stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's why I grew up. But fortunately, so nourished by nature and yet still being able to cross into a cool trend of life with the Air Force Base and meeting people, break dancers, singers, rappers.
Rappers? You had rappers when you went to school?
Candy rappers.
I thought you were older Sakeley's. Than that.
No, we had some kids from other countries. Once again, it blew me away how far behind we were, even on music, like a year behind. Like there was a group I listened to, Alphaville, that a kid had bootleg tapes from Germany, or excuse me, cassette tapes. Some of you don't know what a cassette tape is. And it's amazing that, so I was listening to this group called Alphaville, that was I think they were a German band, and I still listen to Alphaville today. There's a song, it's very awesome, and it's playable. It's called Forever Young, one of my favorite Alphaville songs, and I hear it all the time. And it was actually on a movie back in the 90s. I think the movie was called Listen to Me. Kirk Cameron was in it. I'm like, oh my God, I know that song. That's Alphaville, Forever Young in there. And that's a very cool song about the times, because I came from a time back in the early 80s where we were worried about, we were hearing things about nuclear bombs and things like this. And one of the lyrics is in there is about, are they going to drop the bomb or not? How we live our days, sometimes in fear, wondering if, you know, there's going to be some sort of a crazy war or something like this. But, and they have other songs like Arrived in Germany. There's some really cool tunes, but the group was called Alphaville. And that one of the best songs, that I think it's one of my favorite songs, is called Forever Young. But yeah, so I got to meet some really cool people.
Well, let's see it then, okay?
It's a good song.
All right, I'll trust you on this one. Here's Alphaville with Forever Young on WDBC.
Let's dance in style, let's dance for a while.
Alphaville. One of the songs that Marvin Sugalowski listened to when he was a kid going to school at Gwynn because of a bootleg copy from Germany.
It's crazy, yeah. I'll share that with Craig. Yeah, so a kid I know, it was like his dad's cassette tape from when he was overseas somewhere in the Air Force. So that's the first time I got to listen to it, and I was a senior. It's awesome.
Just goes to show when you interact with people from other cultures and around the country.
Mm-hmm. That, absolutely.
It really broadens who you are.
Your horizons and perspectives, absolutely. It definitely, you can't have a closed mind in life. You got to be wide open for sure. Especially life's, what is it? What do they say? The tightest, it's a little off subject, but the tightest package in the world is someone wrapped up in themselves. That's just crazy. I heard that years ago and I'm thinking it's so true. You got to be open and want to. Life's too short not to be open and listen to things.
You should be a motivational speaker. Oh, wait a minute.
Larry Curley and motivational speaker.
You already are.
Yep, that's my next move. I'm going to actually get out and branch into more leadership presentations and motivational speaking. As we talked about, there's not many people that like a non-motivated speaker because they're very level, just very plain.
Well, so, I'm glad you're hanging out with us here this morning.
It's a good time. Well,
sleep. Someone stole all my sheep. I made a big mistake when I prayed the Lord my soul to take. Stumbling through the days and nights, now my angel's lost in flight.
sign my name, and now I roam this lost soul ain't coming home. You say, come find me. You know just where I'm hiding. Everyone sees me smiling, but I'm on my island crying. I want you to see they took the greatest part of me. Spend my life trying to forgive. I just want this dream to end. Makes me react like I'm still under attack. Your lies of pride and thrills are numbed with a handful of pills. Your drugs can't fill the odor of this terrible disorder. Some nights I wish that I were dead. Dogs of war curled up in my bed. You say, smiling, but I'm on my island crying. I want you to see they took the greatest part of me. Spent my life trying to forgive. I just want this dream to end. Someone stole all my sheep. I made a big mistake when I prayed the Lord my soul to keep.
Lucy, Come Find Me, a song written by Marvin Tsukalowski.
That's a great song. It's one of my favorite I've written.
Still right there.
It's one of my favorite.
Well, you're working on others.
I am. May 1st. It'll be ready.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm holding myself accountable to that after last week, yeah.
So I can play a new one then.
Yeah, I shared that with my wife, too. I said, hey, it'll be recorded and complete by May 1st. April 1st. Yikes. That's April Fool's Day. We'd be all fooling each other. It's an e-song.
Well, that certainly is a good song, and I know that you wrote that for your daughter.
I've used it, encompassed it in a lot of different areas, but, you know, she was a huge sufferer of PTSD, mm-hmm. and, it's just amazing how, and she got, of all the prescriptions in the song, you hear about pride, you know, numbed with a handful of pills. I guess I don't want to talk bad about the VAs for treatment, but I will to a point, cause I'm not involved with them directly, but I have been involved with them directly. And, you know, the answer is numbing you with pills, and most of the times, you know, pills and alcohol go hand in hand. And the only thing that worked for her was when, as a final effort, and a good friend of mine over the VA, John Jameson, amazing, but people like John, they prescribed her a service dog. And that dog is all animals. Some animals do just lives off of her senses and mm-hmm. her well-being, and it was crazy to see. And now, you know,
and that dog's name is
Lucy,
right?
So, and she used to put her hands over her eyes, and because when Lucy is a Belgian Malinois, which is basically hyperactivity on steroids, but still lean, you know, and she would run no matter. We used to go to Portage Marsh and she would take off. You could never, you could scream and yell and try to call her. She'd never come back. And then I remember Kaylin was telling my wife, she goes, cover your eyes and say, Lucy, come find me three times. And she'd go, Lucy, come find me. And the third time, you look and she would just pop out of the grass. She would like mold out and you're like, wow. So that was, I was driving across the Mackinac Bridge. And I always wanted to write a song. And so Lucy Come Find Me popped into my head just because of
what your daughter said.
What she said. And then and then I like to attribute it, like I said, to Lucy isn't just a dog. Dog backwards is God. And as well, I just look at Lucy, the name being the calm of a storm. So in life, we have to have the ability in, and it will find, you know, the calm of our storms are all, it's always there. And either we find it, or secondly, it'll find us. So Lucy's basically the calm of a storm. I look at the inspiration of a Malinois being the calm of a storm, and I've seen it work. And Kayla now is married, living an incredible life. A lot of her PTSD has faded, and
from her military service.
Yes, yeah. You know, I'm talking. I mean, I never understood what PTSD really meant until we'd be riding after she got back from Iraq. We would be riding somewhere and like going like M69, and she would like scream and grab the dashboard because she'd see a guardrail, because guardrails meant possible bombs and things like this, to see that reprogramming in her from when those are things you never dealt with, and to understand the terror and talk about night sweats and fears and things like this that can be induced into you. And that is true post-traumatic stress. In some people, it's levels that it can be a divorce could be post-traumatic enough of a stress. We're not to judge, or I'm not to judge, what's the difference between, it's not just military. PTSD obviously is a huge issue, and continues to be a concern in the nation and the world. But you don't have to just be in the military to have experienced post-traumatic stress. It can be over a divorce. It can be over a death. It can be over a lot of crazy things. So yeah, the influence. So Lucy to me is just the calm of a storm.
Well, I look forward to your new song to find out what new issue you're going to deal with.
Good luck. It's called "I Like an E-Bike." Dislikes and E-Bikes. No, yeah, it's going to be it'll be done by May 1st. So I'm excited about it. So
we need to check out weather one more time before we send you off to work. We are looking at partly sunny skies today with a high near 38, mostly cloudy and a low around 28 tonight. Partly sunny then again tomorrow with a high near 41 with 25 degrees Wednesday night. And then Thursday, we're looking at 41, but on Friday, it's going to be a high near 28. And Marv, you're saying those 20 degree temperatures at night is what really helps with ice out here.
Oh, absolutely.
On Little Bay to Knock.
It was nice because on the ice, I mean, even though we have it's around 40, The ice isn't melting on top. There's not even a slush or anything. It's holding so amazing. And isn't this also maple sap weather too?
Well, it's not supposed to be, but it certainly is.
I know people who were getting sap here 2 weeks ago.
Right, it's absolutely.
Crazy. So when nature gives,
we're going to get a lot of maple syrup.
When nature gives, you take advantage of that, or be ready for it for sure. Because yeah, that came a month and a half, 2 months earlier than normal.
Yeah.
And who knows, but one thing we need for that to continue, we need moisture. The earth has to, if it's going to produce sap, it also needs nourishment to produce sap. If we don't have snow and have runoff, and then there's nothing to grab a hold of with the moisture. I mean, I guess, I don't know, I'm just thinking, if I were sap, I would want to be sappy.
Well, he is a bit sappy. Marvin Sukulowski joining us here this morning. I really appreciate your time. Send you on your way, okay?
Thanks, Craig. Have a great week, everyone.